1. Ephesians chapter 1. I got a new paper out there. I need you to get you a new paper. And then we'll be looking at the ones I done give you. If you didn't get one of them or you don't have it with you, we'll need to hold your hand up. We'll try to help you out a little bit. And we'll be looking at a couple of them tonight. We'll be looking at I doubt we get to the one I'm handing you, but I want you to study it. I want you to read it. Because we're going to finish up Ephesians here before long. We're going to finish up so the first chapter, and we want you to be ahead of the game, all right? Ephesians chapter 1. What I'd like for you to do is you should have a paper that says Calvinism and Reformed theology. Calvinism, Reformed theology. I got just a little bit I need to finish up on that paper. All right, so if you don't have one of them, we'll get you one. All right, everybody listening? And then we'll be looking right back to our Ephesians chapter 4. Or Ephesians chapter 1. It should have a heading on it there. Is everybody with me? Everybody clear? There'll be one paper that'll say Ephesians 1, 4 through 7, front and back. And there'll be one paper that says Calvinism, Reformed theology. And then the one that we're getting tonight. First sentence is just a note. That's the first sentence. All right? We'll get it figured out. All right, just want to finish up just a little bit on the Calvinism, Reformed theology. A few verses we want to look at tonight. All right, let's pray together, can we? Father, we come tonight, and Lord, we sing the Christmas songs. It blows my mind even yet that you would come down from heaven just for me. But just as more than I can comprehend that you came to me when I couldn't go to you. And sure do thank you for that tonight. Lord, we sing these songs. Help us not to think about them as Christmas songs. They're gospel songs. A lot of theology in these Christmas carols. And I pray, oh God, that we might remember who you are and why you came. Forgive me for being slack. Forgive me of my sins, my shortcomings. Cleanse me tonight that I might have your mind, that I might have your power, your wisdom. Lord, that I might be able to deliver the message that you've given me for this evening. For our dear people, and Lord, there's many needs. I do pray for Mark Redmond tonight. Lord, heavy on my mind and my heart, been friends for so long. Lord, I pray that you give him an easy crossing. I pray for Becky, and Lord, I pray for Ben. I ask you, God, to help them. Lord, there's other people around them. They've got lost in their family. Lord, I pray that you would stir their hearts. Lord, through all this, I pray that some way you might get some glory, that they'll not forget to give you some glory through this. Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity. Help me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We look here at your paper there on Calvinism and Reformed theology. The reason that we give you that paper, we'll be looking on the Reformed theology or on the Calvinism side of it, of that paper. We have here in Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read some scripture, and then we're going to talk to you just a moment. Ephesians chapter 1, start at verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start at verse 4. It says, according as he, speaking of God, hath chosen us, it's us, in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, speaking of Christ, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, that's speaking of Christ, wherein he hath abounded toward us, speaking of Christ, in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Think about this. The Lord's will. Think about this. We're involved in the will of God. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. We'll stop right there. And it changes themes there in verse 15. So we'll look up into verse 14 here. Now, when we think of the purpose of this Reformed theology and Calvinism, Calvinism is the old doctrine, and Reformed theology has been pushed. It's been rampant here in the last 6 years or so, seven especially, and it pushes the hyper-Calvinism, if you would, and it's demonstrated by the acronym of TULIP, and that's what we looked at because of this passage in Ephesians. When we see the word predestined or predestination, then it messes people up. It is a false doctrine that if anybody believes it or teaches it, it's false. If you teach it, you're false. If you teach it, you're false. If you teach it, you're a liar if you teach it. Okay. And if you believe it, you're false. You got a false belief. Okay. Can I be any plainer than that? All right. So to think that a holy God would create a creation and on purpose create half of them go to hell and half of them go to heaven is not only not biblical, but it's not even moral. And it's not even righteous. It's not even holy to even think that. It's foolishness. And man is the one who's devised this. Now, if we look there at your paper just real quick, I'm not going to go in depth in all of it. The 5 points of Calvinism, TULIP, it says total depravity. We are deprived. We are depraved people, but we're not totally depraved that we can't choose, that we can't believe. They teach that you have no choice, that when God's irresistible grace comes upon you, you cannot refuse it and you're automatically saved. That's the dumbest thing anybody could ever come up with. Okay. Unconditional election. That God chooses who's he going to save according to his will, just who I want. All right. Now the thing that I marvel at, and this is very sarcastic and I can't help it, but that's the way it is. Is that the people that teach this, their families are always the elect. It's the other people that's not. The people that teach and preach it, their families are all the ones that's always safe. I've never heard none of them. I've read their books. A.W. Pink is one of the special ones. John Gill is on a lot of the Bible programs. A lot of these men are Calvinist, Reformed theology. And, you know, they never say, pray for my, I really hate it. Y'all pray for my family because my oldest son, he'll go to hell because he's not the elect. I've never heard them say that. They say, you know, the other family's going to suffer. So that's, if you can see my point, I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but it is sarcastic. Then the next letter, L, limited atonement, that Christ did not die for everyone. When the scripture plainly says that he died for everyone. All right. That irresistible grace that God effectively draws you that you can't refuse. I'm going to ask you tonight for the ones that's here. I'm going to raise my hand because I know purposely for I know 3 weeks in a row that I purposely refused and rejected Christ as he drawled me to come to salvation. Did anybody else ever reject Christ knowing full well that he drawled on your heart? I see y'all hands all up over the... All right. See, so that's not true. We're plain proof here that we can reject Christ. We looked at Scripture about choosing. If you can choose one way or the other, then you have to be able to reject. If you deny or don't deny, you have to be able to do one or the other. See, none of the Scripture, there's no Scripture for it, okay? And then the P on TULIP is perseverance of the saints. Now, listen very carefully. I believe in preservation of the saints. Preservation of the saints is scriptural because when you're saved for time and eternity. But perseverance of the saints is the works religion that you're working to keep it. That you got to persevere. And that's not true. There's no Bible in that. Okay? So that's, and the reason we're bringing that up is because of the scripture here in Ephesians about predestination here and then in Romans chapter 8 and then over in 1 Peter you'll see about the elect, and it confuses people. Cindy Brown comes to my mind because Cindy Brown was lost for many years thinking she could not be saved. She told me herself, I can't be saved. I'm not one of the elect. I can't be saved. But when she knelt down and Cheryl knelt down beside her in my living room floor there, and she called on God as a sinner, and there was no doubt that she was a sinner. There was no doubt she called on God. There was no doubt that God saved her. All right. That night that happened. So I want you to understand. But this is the teaching. Now, so we looked at that, and we looked at a lot of the scripture. I do want us to look at one scripture for sure, and then we'll pick up in Matthew chapter 21. But I want us to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. And if you have not marked this in your Bible, you need to mark this in your Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Now I want you to listen to what Paul says. Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, and he also wrote here to Timothy. But I want you to listen closely to the wording of the scripture. It says, "For therefore," 1 Timothy 4:10, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God." Now look here, it says, "Who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." There's no greater verse. If you want to just take one single verse, that single verse refutes Calvinism and Reformed theology. He said, "Who is the Savior of all men?" He is the Savior. He was born a Savior. He came as a Savior for the world. But everybody won't believe Him. And He's really the Savior if you believe. He becomes your Savior. But He is the Savior of all men. But that's what that scripture said. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 21. That's where we dropped off at. If my marking's right here on my paper, week before last, that's where we stopped at. We've done looked at John 1 and John 12, Matthew 10, Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29:1 is a sure verse that refutes this, because it says, "He that being often reproved hardeth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." So we know full well that you can reject. So that's what these scriptures are showing, that you have a choice. And Reformed theology and Calvinism says you don't have a choice. So Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42 said, "Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the scripture the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes." It looks to me like they rejected it. They rejected it. Huh? Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Now we're talking about an irresistible grace. That's what they believe, that you can't reject. But it says there that he was rejected. Look here in Isaiah 53, verse 3. Speaking of Christ, he is despised and what?
Rejected.
Of who? Think about that. He is rejected. The rest of the verse says, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, we esteemed him not. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 10. I can go all the way back. It's not just in one place. All right? Is everybody still with me tonight? Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 17. It says, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons. He don't regard people. He don't predestine some to do this or that. He don't show no favoritism. Does that know what it says? Which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He don't look at one better than the other. Our merit, mine and your merit, don't mount a hill of beans. All right, the only merit that he ever looks at is Christ's merit. And he looks at us through Christ's righteousness. We're not worth saving. We don't deserve to be saved. We're not worth saving. And when we trust Christ, he don't even look at us then. He looks at Christ's righteousness. That's that amazing grace we sung about a while ago. Marvelous, infinite, wonderful grace. Because if he looked at our sins, we ain't never quit sinning. Now, the Bible says there in 1 John 2, my little children, I would that ye sin not. That's his desire that we don't. But if we do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Right? But listen, he knows that, and he still saves us anyway. Look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Now, does everybody see the importance of what I'm teaching here? Acts chapter 10, look at verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is what? He's no respecter of persons. Well, you can't teach Calvinism and Reformed theology without being a respecter of persons. And the Bible plainly says that God is not a respecter of persons. Everybody understand that? See, so there's more than one way. Now look in Acts chapter 16. Now this is a verse we very well know. Acts chapter 16. Now, Reformed theology and Calvinism teaches that you can't believe that it's that your believing is what God makes you do or his irresistible grace. It comes naturally. All right? Acts 16, look at verse 30 and 31. Now this is Paul and Silas and the Philippian jailer. The jailer brings them out of the cells and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, now this is something he was going to have to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now they say, well, if you're going to do that, then that's a work salvation. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. That believing is work salvation, because that's what he says all through the scripture, that he that believeth and he that believeth not and he that believeth and he that believeth not. That's what he tells us to do. Okay? Is everybody with me? And people say, well, you always got an attitude when you teach this. I do. I'm sorry. I fought this for over 40 years. And it irritates me that ever so often it come make a circle. Come back around and tries to infiltrate the church. Come back around. It'll be gone. You won't hear nothing about it. Then here it comes again. And what's brought it through this last time is the podcast. The damnable podcast of the day. It's what it is. You'd be better off listening to your preacher and reading your Bible. Okay? Because you don't know what they made people say a lot of good things. I'm sure that them serial killers talk to them people nice before they cut them up and eat them. Huh? We okay? 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, not willing that who should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I've been told this, eyeball, eyeball. Well, that don't mean everybody. That just means the elect. That's what, where does it say that? Well, it don't say that, but you got to take it through. Well, where? What scripture? Well, they've been looking for it. They ain't showed me yet. Okay? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, why would the Lord be willing that all the elect going to come to repentance when they're already going to come to repentance, if that's the way it is? What's he concerned about? Does everybody understand me? Talk to me if you understand what I'm saying. So I'm wanting you to see. All right? John 3:16, we know that. John 3:16, Rick taught on it there just the other Sunday. For God so loved the world, I'd want half of them go to hell. No, I don't say that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That, what's that next word? Say that again. What's that next word? That's what it says in my Bible too. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I just quoted to you 1 John 2:2. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for who?
Everybody.
That's what it says, eh? Now, I can give you more and more and more scripture. All right, that's just ought to be enough. And again, the preachers that do this, John MacArthur just died here lately. John Piper, he's nice, soft spoken, got some good devotion. R.C. Sproul, he's dead now. He's Presbyterian. He's dead now. Got the Legionnaire ministry. Tim Keller, Al Mohler, that's Southern Baptist. Paul Washer, a lot of people watch the iPods of Paul Washer. I heard him preach a good sermon to young people, then finishes it up and talks about them. They need to make sure they're the elect. Everybody listening to me? Vaudy Bachman just died, black preacher. Man, I've heard him preach some tremendous messages on the home. Simple salvation. I heard him preach simple salvation, but then ends it all up. But you're predestined to go to heaven or hell. Steve Lawson, he was famous there for a while until they found out he had that 20-year affair with that young girl. Sam Waldron, I think he's another Southern Baptist. Sinclair Ferguson, Alistair Begg. Alistair Begg, he's the one, he's a Scotsman or an Irishman. He was famous. A lot of people wanting him everywhere until he said it's okay for homosexuals or transgenders to marry. He'd marry him. So they got rid of him right quick. David Platt, Mark Deaver, James White. I talked about James White. Watch the Reformed theology and the Calvinists, because they will go to the other version Bibles quickly. All right? That way they can mess around with the wording and get their belief, because they can't get it out of the Bible. Okay? And that James White, has been a very hard advocate against the King James Bible, writing books about the King James only controversy and doing debates. Be careful. Everybody look at me. Be careful watching the debates. Be careful. Why would you want to watch a debate? Why when the scripture teaches against it? Why would you want to sit and watch two people argue when you ain't supposed to be arguing? That ain't standing on the Word of God. That's arguing for fame and fortune. That's all I got to say about that. Right now. All right, everybody okay? Now look at the back side of your front of your paper. Should say Ephesians chapter 4 or chapter 1, 4 through whatever it is, 4 through 7. Look at the back of that. The back of that, the top of the page, it should be churches in our area. Everybody with me? Talk to me if you're there. The churches in our area that teaches Calvinism, Reformed theology. All right. They may not do it now. I know they did do it here just in the last little while. Mount Gilead Baptist Church at Poole. Landmark Baptist Church at Stringtown Road. Glade Creek Missionary Baptist Church up here at Glade Creek. New Testament Baptist at Levesey. I don't know if they're having church there now. Lookout Baptist Church over at Lookout. Beauty Mountain Baptist Church over at Edmond. Ames Bible Church at Ames Heights. Beacon Baptist down there across from the old Geno's and Anstead before you get to where they tore the Dairy Queen down. That's what used to be in our area. All right. Jay Holiday and Ray Wood were two of the main sponsors in our area. All right. They're both dead now. Knew them both personally. Ray Wood was a school teacher. Knew Jay Holiday for many years. People say, well, you shouldn't name names. Well, see what the Bible said. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. If I don't name names, how will you know? Galatians chapter 1. I'm not being disrespectful. I could be really sarcastic. I was a great friend with Ray Wood. We plowed his garden every spring for years and years. I knew Jay Holiday from the time I was ever born. So it ain't got nothing personal against none of these people. But I will not back up on false doctrine and say it's okay. Everybody be sincere. No. Galatians chapter 1. Is everybody with me? Let's look at verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. In other words, they ain't another. Amen. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel to you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That's pretty plain. That's pretty plain. And I don't have no personal vendetta against nobody, but I'm not going to stand and say it. False doctrine's okay. Now, let's go back to Ephesians. Everybody still with me? Everybody understand I'm not mad at nobody? Everybody understand I'm not down on nobody? I'm just exposing. Listen, if Rick Childers was stealing everybody's gas in the parking lot and I found out about it, and I said, listen, there's somebody trying to steal gas. And I didn't say where and I didn't say who, but I knew. And then your gas got stole. And your baby died because you couldn't get to hospital because your gas was stole. And you said, well, preacher, why didn't you tell me Rick Childers was stealing my gas? Well, I didn't want to offend him. Everybody understand? So, I'm not trying to be mean. All right? Now, let's look back at Ephesians. Verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Everybody with me? It says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Well, that is a wonderful truth right there. That God, before there was ever a world, that God chose us in him, that we would come in Christ, that a sinful man would come in Christ to be with him for eternity. Ain't that most wonderful? According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Now, if we want to talk about predestination, we're predestined. It's before determined that God said to live holy. You know, we always want to say it's salvation. That's what people teach. You need to, you're predestined to be saved. Well, we're predestined to be holy. How come nobody strives or I don't know anybody living a good, perfect, holy life. But if we're predestined to do it, it's the same word. Are we still okay? Talk to me. It says here on paper, as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, not chosen to be saved, but be holy and blameless in love. That's what verse 4 said. That's God's will for us right here today. Do you believe that? And this is what we are chosen to be. God chose us in him. Huh? God only forgives us for Christ's sake. We're in Christ. God forgives us for Christ's sake. Salvation ain't between me and God. Salvation between God and Christ. And I believe Christ. I trust Christ. And God forgives me because I trust Christ. Look over in chapter 4. Look over in chapter 4 and look at verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even, you read it, even as what? God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That the Lamb that was slain might receive glory for his suffering. God forgives me because Christ died in my place. Huh? We still okay? Now, let's talk about this holiness a little bit. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I think we've forgotten that we are to be holy. Now, I'm not saying necessarily you. I'm talking about as a whole, the church, the body of Christ. That we have forgot that we are to be holy and without blame in love. Before Christ in love. The early church asked, what must I do to be saved? We read that a while ago. Right? Today, we ask, what can I do and still be saved? Everybody listening to me? The early church asked, what must I do to be saved? The church today is asking, what all can I do and still be saved? That's the attitude of the church anymore. All right? Is everybody okay with verse 4? Verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. It is God's plan. God made a plan of salvation. That he would make a way of salvation. And we would be adopted in children, as children, by Jesus Christ. Adopted into a holy family. That's God's plan. Because we had no way to do it. He came to me because I couldn't go to him. The reason I couldn't go to him, because I was a sinner. Christ is perfect. God is perfect. So Christ became sin for me that I might be the righteousness of God. That's why. Everybody understands that? Romans 8. Romans 8. Verse 15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, we all understand that we are not God's people, that the children of Israel were God's people, that we are aliens. We were enemies of God. We were aliens. Right? And we didn't have nothing. We didn't have an inheritance. We didn't have anything. Everybody understand? We're Gentiles. We didn't have an inheritance with God. We had to come the Judaism way to get to God. Everybody still all right? But Christ came, which was the plan from the beginning, that whosoever will could come and believe. And I'm adopted into the family and become an heir. I have my part because I'm adopted into the family by Christ Jesus. He adopts us into the family, gives us a brand new life in him. It's all in him. If you look back at the wording, I told you to mark it in your Bible when we read it before, back in verse 4. According as he had chosen us where? Ephesians 1:4. According as he had chosen us where? In him, it says. Everybody still with me? Now, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, whereby? By Jesus Christ. Where to? To himself. According to the pleasure of whose will? His will. All right? Everybody still with me? Now, the process of salvation and its benefits all come to Galatians 4. Galatians 4. Is everybody still okay with me? Galatians 4. Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the what? And because, verse 6 says, and because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Well, we just read that in Romans, didn't we? Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. See, the New Version Bibles don't want you to be that. They want you to be a bond slave. Right? They changed the wording. I want you to be a bond slave. But I was a servant. Now I'm a son. Part of the family now. I'm part of the family of God. I'm not working for my inheritance. Everybody understand me? If you're saved, you're not working for your inheritance no more. You're a son. Huh? You're not getting paid wages. You have an inheritance. There's a big difference in wages and inheritance. Which would you rather have? Inherit $1 million or work for minimum wage? Huh? I'd rather inherit $1 million, wouldn't you? Huh? Well, with Christ, we got far more than that. Okay? And all this is because of Christ. Ain't because of me. Listen, we were guilty of everything. You understand, everybody in this room is guilty, was guilty of drunkenness, adultery, idolatry, lying, stealing, murder, covetousness. You go right down the list, and every one of us was guilty of every one of them. You say, well, I never did. Yes, you did. If you offended in one place, you was guilty of everything. And Christ became sin for us, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. And we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He adopts us by Him. He adopts us. He comes. He signed the papers. He signed it all. He put up the money. He put up the ransom. He put up the pardon. And took me and made me an heir to all that He has, a joint heir to all that He has. And my part too. Ain't that wonderful? Huh? Think about that. And all because of being in Christ. Yeah. Now again, verse 5, having predestinated us to the adoption of children, this is a process of salvation. Now God is a Father who graciously adopts believers in Christ into His spiritual family and grants them all privileges of heirship. That's what we just showed you. That's God's plan. We who were not a Jew but an alien are made nigh. How are we made nigh, it said? By the blood of Christ. We're made nigh by the... I'm not made nigh by good works. I'm not made nigh by my name. I'm only made nigh by the blood of Christ. And that's anybody and everybody. Adopted him into his family. Back in Ephesians. All right? Verse 5. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Huh? And to his body. According to the good pleasure of his will. I become part of the body of Christ. He is the head and I'm the body. It don't get no better than that. I'm a part of him. Listen, he didn't just save me and send me on my merry way, but he adopted me into himself. He brought me into the family. I'm part of his body. Y'all understand if you're saved, you're part of his body. Think about his body. He's the head. I'm a part of him. Are you getting it? Think about it. Huh? Think about that. Now verse 6. Ephesians 1, verse 6. We still okay? Yeah. To the praise of the glory of what? Of His grace. Huh? That the Lamb that was slain received glory for His suffering. Huh? It says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us what? Accept. We weren't acceptable. No. We weren't acceptable. No. He made us acceptable. Wait a minute. He didn't make me acceptable in changing me. He never changed me from the creed. He took me as a sinner. But because Christ became sin for me, He accepted Christ. And when I accepted Christ, I become part of Christ. Does everybody understand? You ain't going to heaven because you're good, because you ain't no good. You ain't going to heaven because you deserve it, because you don't deserve it. You ain't going to heaven because you earned it, because you never earned it. I'm going to heaven because of Christ. Huh? Think about that. Now, He's made us accepted and beloved by Himself and His work on Calvary. All that Jesus Christ did was for us to have access into His body. Think about that. We are accepted because we are in Christ. Everybody look at me. We're accepted because we're in Christ. We're not accepted because we've read our Bible or because we said a prayer. We're only accepted because we're in Christ. By faith in Christ. By faith. By faith. Huh? We still okay. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. It says we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. It's not according to us. Our position, listen to me, our position is in Christ. When I come to Him as a sinner, and by faith, I accepted who He was and what He did. Yeah, right. I received Christ. Yeah. Yes. When I received Christ, I became part of the body, part of the family, accepted in the beloved. Yeah. Yes. And because of His blood, I got forgiveness. Oh, I needed forgiveness. Yeah. Yeah. I got mercy. Huh? I didn't get justice. I got mercy. All that grace, according to the riches of His grace, was more than I could imagine. More than I could hope for. More than I could ever dream of. It was more than that when I took Him by faith. Yeah. Huh? in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Man, the forgiveness of sins is wonderful. Think about this. We have redemption through His blood, being set free. Now, I want everybody to listen. I'm going to get this before we close here tonight. Being set free by paying a ransom price or bought back. That's what redemption is. Or set free from the power of another. I'm redeemed by the power of another. I couldn't pay for it. I'm redeemed by the power of another. All right? Let's look at Titus. Titus chapter 2. We okay tonight? I enjoy this. I love Ephesians. Titus chapter 2 verse 14. Who gave Himself for us. Man, ain't that plain? Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself. See, it's in Christ. We're being purified unto Himself. In Him. In Christ. Yeah. Huh? A peculiar people. Zealous of good works. Now, I want everybody to listen carefully to me. Christ's death paid the price for our sins. You believe that?
Yeah.
Setting us free from the eternal penalty and power of sin. You believe that?
Yeah.
Now listen carefully. It was not a ransom paid to Satan.
Right.
Satan is not in the picture.
Right. Amen.
I want everybody to look at me tonight. There is not Satan over here and Christ over here and you accept one or the other. That's not true. That's not in the Bible. Satan is not the foe that is equal with God. Satan is a created being. All right? Satan, listen at me. Satan has never, cannot, will never damn somebody to hell. He don't have that power.
Right.
Anybody hear me that?
Yes, sir.
He don't have that power. He's going there Himself.
Right.
He's not in hell on a throne.
Right.
He don't run hell.
Right.
He don't sit on a throne and have people shoveling coal to keep a fire up. He's going there Himself. And from what we can gather in Scripture, according to Hebrews, only one verse, that He was kind of in control of death, but just till Christ died. For when Christ died and rose again, Christ has the keys of death and hell, and Satan has no power other than what has been given to him by God. Everybody understand me? Now, who got satisfied was not Satan taking the blood and letting sinners go, but it was a holy God that was perfect in righteousness and holiness. And nobody could come to a holy Father that was perfect and righteous and holy until the perfect blood was shed. And when that perfect blood was shed on Calvary and He died in our place and rose again, then the Bible teaches us that the Father was satisfied with the Son. And because the Father was satisfied with the Son, I've got access to the Father tonight because of the Son, Jesus Christ. Huh? Are you hearing me? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. This blows all the works religions out. Blows all the, you got to work to get saved and you got to work to keep saved. That blows all out of the water. Because it's in Christ. It's in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Huh? Ain't that wonderful? Let's go ahead and keep reading. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God.
Yeah.
Huh? Isaiah 53, verse 10. I'm going to quit right there. All right. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It pleased the Lord to bless. The Lord was satisfied with the sacrifice. Everybody understand what I've taught you tonight? I'll give you what the Bible says. I'm glad for Christ. And every sinner that gets saved, that the Lamb that was slain received glory for his suffering. Father, thank you for a good word. In Jesus' name, amen.